Amen. I wouldn't dare think of telling you all not to say amen. Let the church say amen. Church should be saying amen. Praise God. We got a lot to say amen about. Amen. God is good. God is so faithful. And I thank you all. I thank you faithful saints for coming. And the Bible tells us to assemble ourselves. And we can always find an excuse not to. The devil's going to give us excuses not to go to church. He's going to give us excuses not to use our gifts. He's going to give us excuses not to assemble ourselves. And then when you're not even in church, he's going to give you another excuse to get you even further away from the word of God and further away till you're floating like a cork on the ocean, floundering. So we need to hold on to Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to get closer. Like I always say, I heard someone say that before. I didn't coin that phrase, but he said, if close is good, then closer is even better. And that's absolutely right. Closer is better. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you again for the opportunity to come before you. I ask you to bless this service. Lord, bless everyone who is here and bless everyone who hears your voice, this word, Lord God, that you put in order for us to partake. We thank you for everything. Be with us, Lord. Let your word go out now and not come back void. In Jesus' name, and we all say amen. Amen. Praise God. Let the church say it. One more time. Let the church say amen. Something about that amen this morning. It's just sounding real good to me. Praise God. We're continuing with our message from last week, which is in pursuit of righteousness. And just as a reminder, we looked last week at the concept of righteousness from two different standpoints, meaning that there is the world's idea of righteousness, and that's when those who are in the world have no relationship with the Lord God, Jesus Christ. And as such, they're left to pursue the righteousness of the world. If you don't know Jesus, you're left to pursue the righteousness of the world or the ideas and the notions of which we become most familiar, okay, or accustomed to. For example, when one lives his or her life according to the world's standards of righteousness, their behavior is basically self-motivated, self-serving, self-centered. And I know that may sound harsh. It's not that I'm trying to be harsh. This is the word. It's just that that's what comes with our sin nature. When you have a sin nature, you're going to think more about self. You're going to think about self-seeking things and so forth. One's conduct when born of the world standard of righteousness is going to exhibit behavior patterns which are centered on ourselves. I call it being me-centered, as in what's in it for me. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. We talked about conditional love versus God's unconditional love. Conditional love is when you have a love relationship based on your standards. The person looks like you think he or she should look. You're more apt to be closer to that person. If they do what you want to do, you love them because they take care of you. But God's love is unconditional. He loves us just because, you see. So when we have a world standard, then we get into that me situation. What's in it for me? Some people don't even want to come to church because guess what? I just don't feel like it. Not today. I'm tired. You know. So that's how it is. It's about me. Basically, what's in it for me? That's what we're saying. You basically live your life with that, if it feels good, I'll do it, mindset. If it feels good, do it. That type of mindset. And that's basically what we're saying. We have the freedom to behave the way you want, freedom to express yourself the way you want. We can even change the laws if we want, according to man's or our standards. And that's the thing that we have to think about. Don't get me wrong. There are rules in the world, and you know we have to have rules. So there are some rules there has to be. But the truth is, the world's standards are set by the minds of men. And that can be very dangerous. When you leave the world up to man in man's hands, that can be very dangerous, you know. And don't get me wrong, God has blessed mankind with an amazing intellect, amazing gifts and abilities. But the problem is, we humans are saddled with a sin nature, and we just don't want to talk about that. We just don't want to deal with that. But a lot of our shortcomings are because of our sin nature, and a doggone thing we can do about it unless we come to Jesus Christ. We think we're free. We think we got the answer. We don't have a clue, because we're still held captive by sin. Unless we get free through Jesus. And that's what it talks about in Isaiah 61, in 61, 1 and 2, when it talks about he has come to set the captives free. That's what that scripture is talking about. We're not free. You can't be free unless you come to Jesus. But people don't want to come to Jesus. They think, well, I'm giving up my freedom. No, my friend, you just about to get free when you come to Jesus. Don't get it twisted. You're not free until you come to Jesus. Well, what do you mean? I'm walking around here and I got a good job and I'm making good money and I got a good car and I'm looking good, and you're bound just the same if you don't know Jesus. You're bound, and you're bound to find out soon if you don't know Jesus. That's the truth. Okay? That's just the truth. You know, we got to stop sugarcoating things and tell this thing like it is. Apart from knowing the one true God, who is Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we as mankind can never embody true righteousness. You can be as good as you want to be. Try anyway. You can try to be as nice and sweet and everything as you want to be. Guess what? The devil's got one waiting for you. The devil will trip you up and you just be so cantankerous and nobody want to be around you, because it's your sin nature. And unless we get rooted in the Lord, we're going to be booted by Jesus. I mean, booted by the devil. Unless we get rooted in Jesus, then the devil will put his boots to you every day, because you are not rooted in the Lord. The Bible says emphatically, that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Oh, we don't like to hear that. Don't talk about me. But it's true. Nothing personal. We're all in this flesh. And as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to be under that cloud of sin. But there is an answer, and the answer is in Jesus Christ. See, God said, I'll never leave you abandoned. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've got an answer for you. But the thing is, we don't want to make that commitment. It's about commitment. And that's just, and now, so that's what we talked about last week. If you all remember, I'm not going to go over all that. And some of it has been explained a different way. But if you go back, those of you who were here last week, you know that we talked about this thing about pursuing righteousness from two different standpoints. And that's the world standpoint. But let's look at the other end of it, the concept of righteousness, which we explored last week as well. And that's God's righteousness. The Bible teaches us to pursue righteousness, to seek righteousness. We quote it, which we do several times out of the week, and we need to keep quoting it. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All what things? Everything needed to get us right. Everything good for you. Everything that God has planned for you comes through seeking God in righteousness. That's what we have to understand, the righteousness of God. And you do that by seeking God. Pastor, please take us to Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2. Let's start there for a minute. Let's just take a look and read that for us, please.
Psalm 41,
mm-hmm.
Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2.
Yes, ma'am.
Says, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. and he will be blessed on the earth. You, okay, that's going to 4.
That's somewhere else.
Okay. No, you said 41? 41, 1, 2? Is it somewhere else? I can read it while we, just in case.
That's
and,
all right.
And he will be blessed on the earth. It sound good. And you, he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Psalms 41, verses 1 and 2.
Okay, well, that'll do. That'll do just well. What we're talking about is God is there for us in whatever we do. God will bless us. When we look at seeking the urgency of God, we have to walk in what God wants, has for us in the first place. We don't know unless we seek God. We don't know unless we're seeking God in all that we do. And we have to seek God deeper than just when we're seeking God, it's not about just saying, okay, I went to church. I paid my tithes today. So now I'm entitled to something, aren't I? Yes, I get the perks. I did what I'm supposed to do. That's not seeking God. God knows us. He knows our hearts. Well, I've been to church 3 times in a month, and this month I'm taking out. God, that's all right, because I've been there 3 times. Nobody else in my family go to church. That's not seeking God. See, the psalmist tells us that to seek God as a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, Lord. Man, it has to become a soulish seeking is what I'm trying to say. We have to seek God. It's not about paying dues or anything else. Jesus already paid the dues for you. See, Jesus paid the cost. Like I said before, he paid the cost to be the boss. That's why, you know, he went to the cross for each and every one of us. So you can't pay God off. What you can do is worship God. What we can do is seek God in everything that we do. And that's what these scriptures are talking about. I gave Pastor Annalisa, I think, the wrong one, but it doesn't matter. Because when I look at this Bible, God says it again and again and again. Seek first that kingdom. Look for me as a deer pants for the water. I'm going to deliver you. I'll be there for you. I've come to set the captives free. You ought to be with me. You ought to be walking with me. You ought to be seeking me. You ought to want me like I wanted you. I want you so bad that I gave my only begotten son for you. Even when you were yet sinners, I gave my son for you. Now, what about me? And I'm doing this for your salvation, not mine. I'm the creator of the world. I'm already here, baby. But I'm doing it for your salvation. And all those beautiful children and all your beautiful grandchildren and all your daughters who are out there getting ready to be lured into street corners, I'm going to bring them in if you seek me. All your children who are on drugs, I can get them off of drugs if you seek me. It's just common knowledge. It just makes sense. We don't have to be so spiritual that we just sit there and just go into a trance. No, we don't. The Word, read that thing and see if it doesn't make sense. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Any sword, anything. There's nothing man can imagine. There's nothing he can design, not even a neutron bomb, that will be more powerful than the Word of God. If they drop it right now and radiation just goes through us, guess what? We're going to Jesus. And the Word says there's nothing more powerful than that Word of God. We don't take it serious enough sometimes. We don't take it serious enough. We talked about it last week. I talked about it. I said that I called it hot pursuit. Being in hot pursuit of Jesus. Just like a police officer in hot pursuit. In police work, that's what it is. It's hot pursuit. A life-threatening situation that requires an officer's immediate presence. You got to get there. You got to get there because somebody's life is in danger and it requires your immediate presence. So you go red lights and sirens wailing because I've got to get there. Somebody's life is in jeopardy. Well, well, well. Somebody's life is in jeopardy with Jesus. If we don't know Jesus, your salvation is in jeopardy. Your baby's salvation is in jeopardy. Your family's salvation is in jeopardy. Your neighbor to the left and your neighbor to the right, they're in jeopardy. The one who doesn't want to come to church, you're in jeopardy if we don't follow this thing and seek Jesus. All this playing around, seek Jesus, seek God and his righteousness. It ain't about nothing else, y'all. It's not about anything else. There's an urgency to seek God. Hot pursuit, red lights, siren. I'm coming to Jesus. I'm pursuing Jesus. I'm after Jesus. I'm after him. I got some cuffs and I want to cuff him to me. I want to be cuffed to him. I'm after Jesus. Are you after Jesus? Are you after Jesus or are you just cruising? Are you in hot pursuit? Are you going 5 miles an hour to the church? Yeah, you follow the speed limit, but I'm talking about spiritually. Pastor Annalisa, are you even making it to the church? And if we're in the church, are we in the church with the right frame of mind? Are we thinking about the buffet while we're in the church? Are we seeking Jesus or whatever the popular restaurant is? Are we just knowing that I got to get this over before I get to the buffet? Then you see. Come on, y'all. Let the church say amen. Amen. That's what's going to be lined up at the buffet. Amen. Oh, them greens look good. Amen. Yeah, brother, they do. What are they talking about today? I don't know, bro, but that fried chicken. Amen. I'm just kidding. Seriously, though, we come here with a purpose, a drive, a driving. It's got to be a driving force. It's got to be a driving force. I'm going after Jesus. You know, Jacob wrestled with him, right? He said, I ain't going to let go till you bless me. I ain't going to let go till you bless me. The devil will try to get you to go away from the Lord. Sometimes you got to wrestle your way to Jesus and stay there. You got to say, take me out or take me home or take me with you, one or the other. But I won't stay here like I am. I don't want, to stay here, Lord. Somebody got to get somebody in a headlock. Or try. Try. I mean, try. Do we love him enough to follow him implicitly? Do we love him enough to walk away from things that are not good for us? Do we love him enough to put our lives on hold? Do we love him enough to pursue him more than anything else? Do we love him and trust him enough that whatever I'm going through, Jesus, as long as I'm going with you, I know I can get through it. That's really what it's about. That's really what it's about. To pursue righteousness is to pursue Jesus. You see, you can't have one without the other. You can't expect to live a righteous existence apart from existing in a righteous God. You can't do that. You can't live a righteous existence without existing in a righteous God. You know why? Because Jesus is righteousness. There's no righteousness apart from Jesus. Talking about your good works. Don't mean a thing. As far as righteousness, the righteousness of God has to be in us. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. I hope we all understand that. It means that if righteousness is to flow from us, we must allow Jesus to flow in us. If he's not flowing in you, that righteousness is not going to be coming from you. It's not going to be flowing. And he's the living water. Now, water can sit still or it can drip and it can crash and it can add weight, but most times it's flowing. Rivers flow. And Jesus wants to flow through us. And we have to allow that living water to flow through us. And that's what he's talking about. But we can't do it if it's all about us. If it's all about us and we just shut the water off. It's like shutting off a water faucet. Once you shut it down, it's not flowing. And this is consistent. This is consistent with the analogy Jesus gives us in John 15. Hope I've given her the right one. Let's try this one. Let's try John 15, verses 4 and 5.
That's all right, Pastor. I can go through this whole Bible.
Yes, yes,
all
I already know.
It all
the Lord
applied.
Taught me all the time. He taught me a long time ago. You get that word in you, and that word will come out of you the way I want it to come out of you. Because God will flip the script soon as you get behind this pulpit, and he'll put that other scripture out there. You said, didn't I mean this one, or didn't I give her or him this one? And the Lord's got something else that he wants somebody to hear. Amen. So read that
no
for us.
No accidents with God. Amen. Mm. John 15, 4, 5 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5 says, I am, this is Jesus speaking, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing.
Nada.
Without me you can do nothing.
Nada.
Sometimes we have to remind ourselves, without me, you can do nothing.
Nothing. Nada. Uptagu in Korean. Nothing. Not a thing can you do without me. Okay? And that's right. That's exactly right. We need to be connected to the vine. Connected. And not just any vine, but the what vine? The true vine. There you go. We need to, a lot of old vines out there. We want to be connected to the true vine, okay? The vine that really gives us the strength. The vine that will prepare us to persevere. That's Jesus. He's the true vine. And if then God is righteous and we're seeking him, as we said in the onset of this sermon, then we're seeking righteousness. We want to be part of the vine. Because true righteousness is found in that vine, God himself, who is Jesus Christ. We can't sidestep Jesus. You've heard that old song, that old commercial. There was an old commercial that said, milk does the body good. Anybody ever heard that commercial? Milk does the body good, pass it on. Got milk. Now they say got milk. Okay, you better be careful where you get your milk from. But, but. The premise, I understand, is good. Milk does a body good. Well, that's because, right? That's because it's a fact that milk contains protein and amino acids, and those are the building blocks of life. One of the basic nutrients that you can get 9 grams of good, solid, complete protein is from a glass of milk. Mama's milk is even better. But if you don't have mama's milk and you're not a baby, then you got to go somewhere else and get it, okay? So you've got to get that protein. Because that protein builds up your mind, it builds up your body, it helps your nerves, it does all kinds of things. So it's one of the building blocks. And so then to consume milk is to ensure that we receive adequate protein in order for us to be stayed physically and mentally. Now, the reason I said that is that's the way it is when we abide in Christ. Okay? When we abide in Christ, Christ contains righteousness. Righteousness stems from the vine, from God himself. Therefore, to be connected to Christ and to pursue Christ is to pursue righteousness. Just like I don't drink milk just because I like it. I drink it because of the protein. So but I love Jesus, and I'm going to seek him, and he's going to give me the righteousness that I need that I can turn from sin. You see what I mean? So we want to drink him in just like we drink some other things. As a matter of fact, if we drank more of Jesus and less of that other stuff, we'd be better off in the first place. I'm talking about the spiritual drinking of Christ, who is the living water. Absolutely, he is. So let's go. Let's go to the, do I want to go there yet? Okay. Let's go there. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Let's look at righteousness. This is a story of a man named Joseph. And in the book, in his book, his story, we see both righteousness and unrighteousness and how it develops in this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. And before we go there, you know, Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob, right? And Joseph had the gift of dream interpretation. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 37 that Joseph was just a young boy. He was just a young boy. He's around 17 years old when he told his brothers about his dream. And what did he do that for? Let's look at it. Let's go to Genesis 37, verses 5 to 11. Pastor.
Genesis 37, verses 5 through 11 says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood up all around and bowed down to my sheaf.' And his brother said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me.' So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I bow? Shall your mother and I, your brothers, indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind."
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Now, that's something, you see. Now, Joseph was gifted. Don't get me wrong. He was gifted. But as a youngster, he wasn't too wise, obviously. Discernment? No, he was probably a little lacking in discernment. Call it shooting off the mouth. And he was bragging, okay? So his immaturity wound up getting him in quite a bit of trouble, right? And as we'll soon see, because we want to look at this a little bit. And that's something of a side note we can all take from this today. Because while we may be gifted in certain things or in certain giftings in the Lord, where God has gifted us, wisdom is always needed in conjunction with your gifting. Amen? You need the wisdom. Joseph wound up getting into deep trouble due to his bragging, didn't he? Okay? And see, because it's a fact that people sometimes can become jealous or even fearful of another person's gifts, right? They can become fearful, and that's what happened in this case. They were fearful, but they were also upset and jealous, and bad things can happen, right? Like the old lyrics say, just because people are smiling at you, smiling faces, sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of that evil that lurks within. Can you dig it? These were his brothers. These were his brothers, and they hated him for what he said. Okay? Those smiles were frowns turned upside down, my friend, if they were friends. And you really have to think about this. His brothers went past the point of pretending to smile. They had their own ideas on what was righteous to them. They decided to kill their brother. They said, "That's righteous to me." I don't know if they took votes, but they said they decided to kill the boy for dreaming like that. How dare you dream a dream about me like that? I'm going to bow down to you. Boy, I'll take you out. I thought my brothers was rough. These boys could have lived on the south side of Chicago with us. They could have been my neighbors, but they would have been they worse than my family. Take you out for dreaming? I can't help it. I'm dreaming. That ain't good enough. Boom, you out of here. Oh, man. And that just goes to show you about our righteousness being as filthy rags. See, if you're not rooted in the Lord, we see that they had their own mindset about things. Now, let's go a little further. I'm going to ask Pastor Alisa, take us down to verse 18 to 20. Same chapter, 30, 37.
Verse 18 to 20.
It says.
Same neighborhood. Now, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him.
Here he comes.
Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say some wild beast had devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams.
I don't even know what to say just listening to this. Here it is, 2017, people killing each other left and right, especially in my hometown. They call it Chicago Chirac. So, you know, they're killing some people in Chicago. But still, I am appalled at how these men were talking about killing their younger brother for a dream. And if you can't go to your family without fear of death, where can we go? And I can only think that if it was like that then, it's probably worse now. And I know it is, because I did police work. I don't even want to tell you all. I don't want to ruin your Sunday morning service by telling you what I've seen families do to each other. People losing their eyeballs in a fit. Heads being blown off while they're holding the child in their arms. Baby crying with his mother's blood all over and brains all over his back. Because I've seen it. So I know that when I read something like this, is we're not too far from it. We may be worse than them boys right there that wanted to kill their brother. You know why? Because their righteousness was their righteousness. It wasn't God's righteousness. And if you're not linked up to Jesus in a fit of rage, you might do the same thing or something worse. Mess around, poison your poor husband because you're tired of him. And the same tea and coffee you've been giving him, and now he's twitching. And doctors don't know what it is. Finally, he's laying down in the fetal position, twitching. And you saying, want some more coffee? You don't know what might be going on around here. Because I've seen some people do some stuff. And here's the Bible saying, that ain't nothing new, son. They've been doing this ever since day one, even my chosen people, even from Jacob's line. You see what I mean? This is some sobering stuff to me. I don't know about you, but it's sobering to me. So we see how the brothers were planning on killing him. Obviously, they were in agreement unanimously. They must have felt like this was the righteous thing to do. Remember, we're talking about righteousness, so it must have been righteous to them or in their mindset. And that goes back to what we learned earlier, does it not? That we as human beings have our own standards of righteousness and how to pursue it. Huh? That's what we're seeing. And unless we pursue Jesus, God himself, we can be capable or become capable of doing the unthinkable. And this is what his brothers were doing. Just as Joseph's brothers were doing. They were conspiring to kill him. But thank God that Joseph's brother, Judah, right? Judah talked to the other ones and said, don't kill him. Let's do something else. Well, Reuben, but also Judah. Yeah, thank you. Reuben didn't want to kill him that way, but Judah was the one that came up and changed it and said, let's do something else. Let's instead of killing him, let's sell him into slavery. That's better, I guess. Let them kill him, maybe, huh? Let's look at Genesis 37, verses 26 to 28. I'm going to tell you, we're doing this for a reason. Just bear with me. 26 to 28.
37, 26, 28 says, "So Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh.' And his brothers listened." Mm-hmm. "Then the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt."
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. So we see that the brothers knew exactly what they were doing. They had this thing thought out. And Judah says, no profit in killing the boy and concealing his blood. So let's just sell him off. That way, our hands are clean. And see how we can get when we're so twisted up and we don't know and we don't follow God, that in our own righteousness, we think we're clear. We think that we're just the sweetest thing since mama's apple pie. And talking about selling your brother into slavery and no telling what they may do to this 17-year-old boy. They may dismember him or they may do anything. He might die a slow death now instead of a quick death. But this is what happens. No guilt, no remorse, no conviction of conscience, you see. Because Reuben and Judah, they get credit on the one hand for not killing him, but on the other hand, just selling him off into slavery. But we read this in the Bible and we just kind of say, wow, that's something. But think of it in your household right now. You ever got upset enough to harm somebody in your family? Could it happen? I've seen some things happen. So I'm just saying you don't have to answer that, but just think about it. Never underestimate a mind that's not stayed on Jesus. Never underestimate a mindset or a person who doesn't know the Lord. Because the Lord is the one that sustains us through righteousness, and if we're not with Jesus, we're not hooked into righteousness. So most of you know that Joseph's ordeal goes on and on and on. We can't read all of this because this goes all the way up to chapter 50. But in your home time, read about it and see what happens in Joseph's life. But we learn in reading about Joseph's life that throughout his life in slavery and as a prisoner, guess what? This was to Joseph's benefit. He never, ever took his eyes off God. He never took his eyes off God. Again, to pursue God is to pursue righteousness. You heard me say this plenty of times, that when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we keep our eyes off of other things that you shouldn't be looking at in the first place. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, like horses with blinders on in the horse race, staying in our lanes. When we look at Jesus, we tend to stay in our lanes. We get focused on the finish line. We have to focus on finishing, and Jesus is the finish line. Jesus and finish to me mean basically the same thing. I'm trying to get there. I want to finish with Jesus. I want to see God. I want to see his face. I want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So I have to be focused on Jesus. I have to be lined up with his righteousness. I have to be rooted to that vine. I have to be holding his coattail. I have to be shaking his hand. I have to allow him to cuff me, take me prisoner so I can be free. And that's what it is with Jesus Christ. His righteousness. That makes sense, doesn't it? Focused on Jesus, staying in our lanes. Now, can you get out of your lane? Surely, surely, surely you can. Let me tell you something about a horse race. Those horses with blinders on, getting ready to come out. You've seen him kicking. You see the jockey can't hardly stay. He got to get the little thing and don't just pull the rein because they're so rooted on getting doubt and getting into the race and getting to the finish line and pursuing the finish line that they're just snorting, trying to get out, and you can't even contain them. And sometimes when they get out because of their exuberance, they slip and fall. The best racehorse sometimes falls. And we sometimes fall, even though we're rooted on Jesus, even though we're focused on following Jesus, the devil comes up and shows you something, and you just look for a quick minute, and you stumble. You mess up. Joseph messed up. He stumbled. He stumbled and almost cost him his life. All the boy did was say he dreamed. He ain't slapped nobody. He ain't spit on nobody. Nothing. All he did was, hey, report the facts. And you can get in trouble for reporting the news, you know. I've seen that happen too. So Joseph wasn't perfect. He made a mistake by shooting off his mouth. A boy of 17 years old, and as a result, they sold him into slavery. But guess what? We all make mistakes, don't we? We all make mistakes, even in the Lord. How many of you ever shot your mouth off? When was the last time? This morning? No, maybe you didn't. But we say stupid things, and we can't. Sometimes, I know I have, and looking back on my life, my mouth should have been zipped up for years. What came out of my mouth. You giving signs, Annalisa? I had a bad mouth. I did. But that's okay, see, because now I know the Lord. Ha, 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 ha. I know Jesus. Yeah. Now. And he took it all away. He took it all away. But let me tell you something. Let's look at Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs 17:28. And it says, I'll just read that one. It says that even a fool, if counted wise, even a fool is counted wise if he holds his peace. Huh? And it says, when he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. In other words, if you're silly or stupid, just shut up and nobody will know. If a stupid spirit sits on your shoulders and say something stupid with your stupid self, just keep your mouth shut and don't say it. It might be hard, but just if you have to clap your hands over your mouth. They may not know you're stupid. They may just think you got a toothache. Just keep your hands over your mouth till it passes. This is wisdom from the Bible. That's another way of saying just remain silent. Better to be thought a fool than to reveal it to the whole wide world. Don't get on the internet and let everybody know you're stupid. Don't get on the internet, say something about Christians and just bring us all down every time they look. There's another stupid Christian because you got on the internet and said something and let everybody know that you head choir director, head soloist, whatever you are, now they see it on the internet because you're saying all kinds of things. What'd you say, Pastor? Oh, okay. I thought you said something. So this is wisdom that the Bible has given us. Proverbs is wisdom because we ruin each other's testimony. When Christians do that, we just ruined it for other Christians. It's hard enough trying to get people to understand, the difference in traditional Christians and a Christian who is really a disciple of Christ. It's really, they don't know the difference unless they see your walk. So they lump you into one big old basket, okay? So this is what it means to keep the mouth shut sometimes and keep the hands still, okay? Put on some big old gloves so you can't get on the internet. Put on some of those big, thick winter gloves so you can't punch the keys if you just got an internet addiction or something. Stop it. Stop doing that. Stop texting. So anyway, it may have been foolish for Joseph to do what he did, speak to his brothers in that manner that he did, but he did it, okay? And we have to consider this in relation to being righteous. Let's go to Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. Pastor, read that for us. This is, when you're with Jesus, he makes things work out for you, right? Yes. Read that one, Pastor, please.
Psalm 37, mm-hmm. verses 23 and 24 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, mm-hmm. and he delights in his way. Mm-hmm. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, mm-hmm. for the Lord upholds him with his hand."
Amen. You see that? That's a wonderful scripture. Yeah. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That means that if you're following Jesus, he's going to direct your steps. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. You might make a mistake. You may fall somewhere along the line. But it said that the Lord is going to uphold you. He's going to catch you before you fall completely. It reminds me of being in Chicago again when I was young. My mind always goes back there. But when I was walking, sometimes we'd have what we called a glacier. It would rain, and it would start raining at about 40 or 41 degrees where we could get precipitation, almost freezing but not freezing. And then as the rain lands, the temperature drops. And it drops down to about 15 degrees. And when it drops down below Fahrenheit, below 32, that water starts freezing up where it blankets the ground and the trees, and they look like crystal. And we love it as kids, but you just can't walk on it. So when you walk, you slip, and a lot of people were breaking their collarbones, and older people were breaking hips. And I remember seeing a mother walking with her little daughter, and the little daughter was just like a little snowman. She must have been four, and they were trying to walk. And every time the daughter would slip, whoop, the mother would whoop, pick her up. She never hit the ground. Her feet would go up, whoop, and the mother would pick her up. And she, the little toddler, was just walking. And that's how we are. That's what this scripture said. Though he falls, he will uphold you. He upholds him with his hand. He picks you up before you go all the way down, before you go splat. If there's an if in there, the steps of any man, no. The steps of any woman, no. The steps of a good man. Now, the Bible tells us that there are none good, no, not one. But in this term, the scripture is saying those who are following the Lord, who have received favor from him, he's going to uplift you. He's not going to let you fall all the way down. He's going to send somebody to talk to you. He's going to send a scripture. It's going to convict you through his Holy Spirit. He's not going to let you go that way. The way of Cain. He's not going to let you go that way. The way these brothers want to kill their brother. He's not going to let you go all the way down. If we're rooted in the Lord, if we're connected to the vine, if we're focused on our lane, if we're looking to Jesus Christ, if we're hotly pursuing him, red lights and sirens, he's not going to let you go down like that. He's not going to let you go down like that. Man, this is so important to me. I hope it's important to you because it's important to me. It's important. This is important to know. He delights in the things you do. If we're living our lives then as best we can by following God and his precepts, then the Lord is going to be pleased with what you do. If you make a mistake, he's going to say, "That's all right, you made a mistake. Come on back up. I know what you wanted to do and I know what you tried to do. I'm going to toughen you up. I'm going to get you ready." He's going to put you right back on that stool. You've seen them boxes. You've seen them boxes. You've seen them boxes. You've seen them. They come out, and as soon as they get hit, they're like, boom, 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 boom. They're dizzy. I saw one the other day on this show. He got hit so many times when it was time for him to go to his corner. He was going to the wrong corner. He was like this. And the other boxer tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Man, that's your corner." He's like, "Oh, thanks." And he went to his corner. And as soon as he got there, his coach, his trainer, put a chair down for him, right? They put a chair down for him as soon as he get there. And they practically picked him up and set him down. He like this. They said, come on, help. They're putting water all over his face. They're waking him up. They're shaking him. They're rubbing him down. Somebody behind him. Somebody waking on him. And somebody is in his ear just like this saying, champ, you got to keep your left up. You've got to keep your left up. Keep your left up so that doesn't happen. You've trained much too hard for this. Now, are you okay? How many fingers do you see? One. Good. You're all right. And they just keep talking to him. Keep talking to him and get him ready. And then they stand him up and pull the chair out. Now, go on back out there and do what you got to do. Well, that's what God does with us. That's what Jesus is doing with us. He said, come on, you got another round in you. Don't you dare let that devil put you down. I've given you the word. Come on, champ, work on this thing. We done worked on this. We've been talking about this. We believe in this thing. Come on now. Get on back out there and give me another round. That's what happens. That's what happens. You got to see it. You got to see the visual. 15 round, 12 round fight. Boxers don't even know. He hit so hard, he don't even know what round it is. It's only the second round. He said, how many more we got? What round is this? Trainer said, 10th round. He said, oh, okay, you can make two more, can't you? Yes, yes. Well, get back out there. It's almost over. Get back out there 5 rounds later. What round is this? 11th round. You got about one more in. You got another one? Yes, I do. Get back in there. The Lord ain't going to tell you what's always coming. He ain't going to tell you how much more you got to go. But he's going to say, I'm going to be with you till this thing is over. And then you coming to me, right? You got to be rooted in him. You got to train in him. You got to pursue him. That's what it takes. That's what we learn. That's what we're learning about this. That's what the Lord is giving us right here. He said, if you do this, I'll do this. Should we make a mistake? Should we slip? God is going to be there to uphold us. This is what we see. This is what happened in the life of Joseph. Now, story of Joseph, like I said, it goes from Genesis 37 to chapter 50. And obviously, we don't have the time to go through that, but it's a very, very intriguing and interesting story. Study it at home. Joseph's ordeals. The Bible shows us about Joseph's ordeals, that through it all, he was very cognizant of his relationship and his faith in God and his respect for God. Faith in God and respect for God. If you have faith in God and respect for God, you're going to value everything that God has for you. You're going to want to take hold of the things, the gifts that he's given you. You're not going to put them down and say, Lord, I just want to make it to heaven. Keep the rest of that stuff. Just get me to heaven. I'm saved. Lord, pick somebody else, Lord. Lord, I just don't want to do that job. I don't feel like going today. I'm dropping out. I'm doing this. I'm going to go my own way, Lord. Not if you love the Lord. Not if you truly love the Lord. You can't even do that. Now, you can't convince me that you really love the Lord and then just do what you want to do every time and put things down and respect the Lord when it's more about you. Mm-hmm. But you can twist his rules and do what you want to do and say, the Lord knows how I am. No, that don't work. That doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Now, in all fairness, what you can tell me is that I'm not there yet. And I understand that. What does being there mean? None of us really know what being there is except God. He's the one to tell you when you get there. I can't say I'm there. I got a long way to go. If somebody tell you they're there, then you look for them to float or look for some the Lord to come out of them and something. Because if they're there, they should be in heaven. Mm-hmm. Look for them to go up and be a pile of clothes on the ground as soon as they tell you that. I'm there. Whoosh, now I believe you. But if not, there he goes. Went right through the ceiling. He by golly, he was there. We didn't believe. We thought he was lying. Man went right up through the roof. Disappeared like Enoch. And Elijah, whomever, without the chariots. But whatever the case may be, that means that if you, there's work to be done. But God says, I'll get you through. I'll get you through, but you got to be rooted. You got to be connected to the vine. You got to listen to the coach. You got to work for the owner. You got to follow your commanding officer. You got to seek me as a deer pants for the water, as a pigeon looking for crumbs. You got to look for me. You got to look for me every time you go out. You got to be looking on the ground for Jesus. You got to look for me because I'm your sustainer God. That's why they make songs about me. That's why they say, I am that I am. That's why I am the great. That's why I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You got to look for me because you don't know that the end may be upon you right now. So you better look for me right now. Well, we take some stuff for granted. But you know, when he called me to this, I started to see things differently, y'all. And it's my job to point it out to you. If you see it the way I see it, just indulge me. But just listen. If you see it already and say, mm-hmm, you know, say amen once in a while. Don't say it to me. Say it to the Lord because the Lord is giving you the message because he's giving it to me as I stand here. So the Lord is faithful. But Joseph had this faith in God and this respect for God. Now, what does that mean to us as Christ followers? Well, okay. Some days things are not going to be as rosy as other days, right? Some days, like Joseph, you're going to be mistreated by others. They may want to take you out too. Maybe they don't like you at your job. Maybe they don't like you at your house, in your own home. Maybe just driving home from church. Somebody going to rub you the wrong way. Maybe wherever it occurs, whenever it occurs, it's our faith in God that gets us through it. It's our faith in God that gets us through it. It's our quest for God, our respect for God, our love for God, our hot pursuit of God. We're searching him. We're seeking him in all things. If you just seek God when things are rosy, are you really seeking him? You got to seek him when you're down, when you're really going through a struggle, when your health is poor. Now you start seeking God in earnest. And that's why a lot of times he has to put us down or allow us to be on our back or allow that debilitating pain to get us to realize that we need to seek God. Sometimes you're not going to look so good. Sometimes you're not going to feel so good. That's why we seek him. Seek him while he is still there. Search for him. That's what the scripture tells us, right? While he may be found, we need to be seeking him. We need to be clinging to the vine, holding on to the wall like a blind man, like Touchy Willie in Chicago, who was so drunk that he used to just walk along the walls every day with a wine bottle in his pocket, brown bagging it, Touchy Willie, leaning on the wall, depending on the wall to get him where he need to go. That's the way we need to depend on Jesus. Where do we need to go and how do I get there? He is the banister going up a slippery slope, and we have to hold on to Jesus. Anything else is going to, you're going to be severely, severely disappointed if you start believing in this other stuff. So we can be so guarded, though, that we go around thinking, because things are going to come on you. Things are going to come on you. The Bible tells us, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that have come upon you, right? It tells us that. Don't be surprised. These things are going to come upon you. Okay, so we can't be so guarded that we just say, I know that something's coming, man. I know they're out to get me because that's what this life is all about. Come on with it. I'm ready. Looking out. No, that's just paranoia. That's like Al Pacino in Scarface when you say, you know, I'm feeling kind of as you say, oh, paranoia. You know, that's just being paranoid. Okay, that's not what the Lord wants for us. That's not good because that's a spirit, as Pastor Annalisa said. And I've seen people get misused and mistreated and say somebody wronged them, and guess what? Nobody did a thing to them. Nobody but that spirit that sat on their shoulder and lied to them. And they took the bait. And they went with it. You know why they went with it? Because they weren't rooted to the vine in the first place. That's why they went with it. Satan is here to take you out of your lane. You better believe he is. He's looking for somebody to take out of his lane or her lane. He is. He is. You see him come and go in your life, in the church, in ministry, in Christ. Some people don't even read the Bible anymore. Satan took them out of their lane. That's why. He took it away. The Lord will let Satan deal with you to get you to come to love the Lord. He'll let Satan deal with you to show you that your righteousness is as filthy rags, especially without him. And when we take a step away from God, Satan takes a step towards you. You better know it. Anybody that's telling you to stay away from church, to drop out of church, to stop doing this, to stop reading the Bible and other things like that, a liar. It's a blatant lie from the pit of hell. Ain't nothing godly about it because God won't tell you that. You ought to take it personal. I take it personal. I take it personal since I've been called by the Lord. Sink or swim, baby. That's it. All the way or no way. It can be no other way. I don't have a plan B. I got a plan A, and it starts with the word Jesus. That's the plan. That's his plan. God, and I'm in him, and he's in me. So why would I have another plan? I can't afford to have another plan. I can't afford to think on something else. I have to think on Jesus. And guess what? You got to think on Jesus. We got to think on Jesus. We got to be rooted in righteousness. We got to find a way to get there. Absolutely. People who are saved. When you're focused on pursuing God and the righteousness of God, you're not so easily drawn away by selfish desire or worldly desire or lies that the enemy will tell you. Okay? Let's look at another example. Let's go to, I'm almost done. Let's go to Genesis 39. And by this time, we learn that God's favor is on Joseph's life. His master has given Joseph control over his affairs. You remember that scripture said, I'll make your enemies your footstool? That happened to Joseph. And watch what happens. Pastor, read Genesis 39, verse 7 to 10. Things are going good. I mean, as good can be, Joseph is he's still sort of in slavery, but guess what? He got people under his control because the master has shown him favor, right? Go ahead, Pastor.
Genesis 39, mm-hmm. verses 7 through 10 tells us, mm-hmm. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Cast longing eyes.
There go that bowling ball.
On Joseph. And she said.
Knock him down.
And she said, lie to me. Lie with me. Not lie to me, but lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. My master does not know what is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Hmm. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?
Powerful, powerful, powerful statement.
So it was.
That's it.
You said 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So it was as she. See, I'm being obedient. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful. He could have lied to her, but that would have been wrong too. So you said, lie with me? The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. This is amazing stuff here because what it tells us, what it tells us right here is that Joseph was obedient all the way to God. The words that he says in verse 9, there's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. That's what he's saying about his master, her husband. And you are his wife. He said, but he takes it off, the focus off of her husband, and he puts it back to God, his true master. It says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's the love. That's the righteousness right there, you all. That's the righteousness of God. Thank you for reading that, Pastor. This is that's the righteousness of God. And it goes without saying that spiritual warfare is going to always be present in our lives. We're going to be put in situations like that. No harm in running from sin. No harm in running from sin. Like the Bible tells us, if my eyes are going to keep me from heaven, then pluck them out. You know, if I had to go to heaven sightless or with one limb to get me to where I need to be. And that's the visual effect that Jesus is trying to put in our hearts. Spiritually, we want to be whole. Physically, we want to be whole. But whatever it takes to get us there. And that's what Joseph had to reason with this woman and say, how can I sin against God? If you don't care about your husband, do you care about God? I do. I care about God more than I care about my supervisor. I care about God, pleasing God more than I care about pleasing my wife. I have to care about God more than I care about pleasing me. That's the way it's got to be. And that's what Joseph is showing, because there's going to be warfare in your life, and you're going to have to decide who you're going to follow and how you're going to do it. As long as we're in this fleshly house, this tent, which is our body, we're going to be engaged in spiritual warfare. Somebody's going to try to get you to acquiesce to them. A voice will try to get you to say, it's okay, do it with them this time. Go ahead, do that thing. Bring that girl to Christ. Bring that man to Christ. Go to the hotel just one time. Go ahead. You'll be all right, God. If you're a good man, steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You're at the hotel. He must have sent you there. Go ahead. You better know who's speaking to you. You better know you're in spiritual warfare. Don't you get on, don't you? You better run. She got the car, walk, run, put on your tennis shoes. Put on your tennis shoes, boy, and run. Girl, run. Take your high heels off and just run with one in each hand running down the street. I saw Sister So-and-so running down the street with her high heels in her hand with a church dress on. And she was running. Must have been running toward Jesus. Let's pray for her right now. Whatever you got to do. Don't worry about your petticoat. Run. You'll slip. You was about to slip, so don't worry about it. Run. There's going to be warfare, and we got to stay focused on the Lord. Whatever it takes to be focused on him, that's what we have to do. Spirit of God. See, there's a tug. There's a power struggle. You got the Holy Spirit in you advising you. Then you got another spirit outside of you saying, come on. Come on with me. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? He's not going to always tell you big things like adultery or fornication. We use those things. He's going to tell you things just like, just lay up in the house and don't do anything. Just vegetate. And you want to read the word. Don't read the word. Fall asleep right now. Poof, and you go to sleep like you under hypnosis. Devil tell you, I'm sleepy. Poof, you ain't read a scripture. Instead of rebuking that demon and say, Lord, wake me up, and slap yourself. Wake me up, Lord. Wake me up, Lord. Doggone this demon. Wake me up in the name of Jesus. I bind these demons in Jesus' name. Lord, refresh me right now. I cast out these demons of sleepiness. I cast out demons of apathy. I cast out demons of hobbies. I cast them out. I don't want a hobby, Lord. Make me want this word. Make me rooted to this word. And you start talking. Watch them demons say, oh, he's serious. They start backing up off of you. You got to do it. You got to do it unless you're just kind of comfortable where you are. Now, we got some comfort comfortably cozy Christians. Call them the triple C Christian. Comfortably cozy Christians doing what they want to do. But we've got to focus on clearly what the Lord is telling us to do. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph made a practice of it. He was pursuing righteousness, the righteousness of God. And he said, I cannot sin against God. Even to the point of fleeing that old Jezebel. And that wasn't Jezebel, but you believe that was a Jezebel spirit. And the Jezebel spirit is around right now. I don't know what the male version of that is. Jimmy Bell and Jezebel, whatever the case is, whatever you want to call it. Jimmy Bell spirit and the Jezebel. I don't know, but you just kind of coin the phrase yourself and just know that spirit when it's talking to you. So Joseph's love for God caused him or moved him to flee from the lust that was associated with his master's wife. And again, saints, make a note of these things. To pursue righteousness is to run to righteousness, means running away from sin. So I'm going to get ready to close. Let me just say that if we profess to be saved, born again, believers in Christ, we should have no problem pursuing righteousness. Let me leave you with one scripture, Romans 5:1-4. Romans 5:1-4. Can you read that, Pastor? Quickly,
Romans 5:1-4 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. You hear that? We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope.
Amen, amen. Now, you could continue that, but for the sake of time, we don't have to. Just let me thank you, Pastor. Let me just say this. It's right there, saints. We have peace with God because we're justified by faith. When you're justified by faith, you have peace with God. Therefore, we can glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And it says, now hope does not disappoint because of the love that's been poured out on us by the Holy Spirit. That's what Joseph had. He said, I'm going through this tribulation, but guess what? I can get through it. I'm going through this trial, but guess what? I got another round in me. I've been knocked down, drug out, but guess what? I'm still on my feet, and I'm still walking toward Jesus. See, it's producing the character, and the character is producing hope. You know, and that hope won't disappoint because God has poured into you by the Holy Spirit. That's powerful stuff. We need to take that and walk with us and walk in it. Joseph obviously was justified by faith. He had peace with God to the point that he not only forgave his brothers for wanting to put him to death, but guess what? God used him to save them same old ornery men. Isn't that something? He came full. Ain't that something? Same one wanted to kill him. Had to come up and say, thank you, Joseph. We love you. Remember me, your old pal Hook? No, God changed things all around. And he'll change things around for us. And why did he do it? Because Joseph remained in pursuit of righteousness. Okay? Whatever comes, however it comes, keep the faith. Stay in hot pursuit of Jesus. Stay in pursuit of righteousness, each and every one of us. Amen? Can we say amen to that? Amen, amen. And to those of you who are watching or hearing this broadcast, what are you pursuing? Are you pursuing Christ? Do you even know him? If you don't, you need to get on that path. You need to know that there is a God who will save you, a God who cares about you, a God that won't double cross you, a God that you will continue speaking to you even when those other so-called gods play out. And believe me, they do play out. Sooner or later, you wake up to realize that what I truly need is Jesus. All the money will someday be gone. Your help, your looks. Sometimes your loved ones leave you. But God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The only thing is you need to know the true God, and the true God is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, the Creator except through Jesus Christ. I'm a living witness. He came and got me personally, and I'm so glad he did, because I just couldn't listen to man. I couldn't listen to men. It was a hard thing for me to do. But I thank God that he didn't leave me out there. So I'm telling you, I don't know if he'll come to you like he came to me, but he's here for you. I can tell you that. And you don't even have to wait. You don't even have to wait on a miracle or a sign. All you have to do is give your life to Jesus today, and you can be a child of the King. If you would allow me, to all those who are listening who don't know the Lord, I'd like to pray a prayer for you. And if you agree with me and in your heart and repeat this after me, then you'll be a child of God. Just say, Lord, I know I've sinned. I know I'm a sinner. Lord, and I believe you to be Jesus who died for me, and I believe that God raised you from the dead and you covered my sins. Lord, I'm asking you to come into my life now and be my Savior. There are some things that I can't change. I know there are some things in my life that I don't need to do, and I can't stop doing them, Lord. I'm hooked on these things. I'm asking you to come and take it away from me. If you do, Lord, I promise I'll follow you all the days of my life. I will pursue you in righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations. You are now a child of God. I hope someday to meet you. I hope someday that we all wind up in heaven and we can talk to each other, and you can say that I remember hearing this voice and the Lord has sent this for me that day. I pray this is you. And all you have to do now is get yourself a Bible and find yourself a church. Ask the Lord to guide you to a church that's going to speak the true word of God. As you study, the Holy Spirit is going to come into you and lead you into all righteousness. Amen. We are Spirit of Truth Church worldwide, and we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. No filler, no fluff, no lies, just the word of God. You're welcome to come here. You're welcome to worship with us. You're welcome to join. If you don't know which church you want to go to, ask the Lord to send you to a church. But you can come here in the meantime, and we'll provide a covering for you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for your family. And we're here to serve as God leads us. So with that, if there's anyone needing prayer, we'll pray for you. And those who need prayer, you're welcome to stay afterwards. We're going to do our deliverance prayer. We're going to pray.